Monica Abbott here, back in Kansas City to host my first annual scholarship golf tournament presented by Shields, Monday, May 6th at Lakewood Oaks Country Club in Lee's Summit. All proceeds go toward awarding two scholarships to well-deserving female athletes in the Kansas City area. Sign up at monicaabbott.com.
He's just what you'd expect from a man who covers the NFL. 6'4", 300 pounds, fiery, but he does know the Chiefs as well as anyone. He's the Chiefs beat writer for the Kansas City Star, Sam McDowell, on the program.
Welcome back here on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you as we make our way through a very busy Victory Monday. We welcome in Sam McDowell from the Kansas City Star. Handles the Chiefs beat. He's brought to you by our friends at Corona Light, Corona Premier, and the Corona Hard Seltzers. Got that New Year's resolution, trying to lose a few pounds. The Corona Premier's less calories, less carbs. The Corona Hard Seltzers, zero sugar, zero carbs. Get them wherever you buy your Coronas. Four great flavors for the Corona Hard Seltzers. Sam, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. Sleep deprived.
Okay.
But otherwise doing pretty well.
But the game was a 5:30. How can you be sleep deprived?
Right, right.
It was early.
Yeah. Walked in the house about 2:30 in the morning last night.
Why? Well, I mean, what time do you usually get done on a normal Monday nighter?
About that late. Yeah. And we had a couple extra hours, but people probably don't care about it from the journalist perspective, but you want something to write about. You don't need quite that much to write about. At some point, it was like, can we just stop here? Like, I've got plenty. And, you know, and by the end, by 2 minutes later, all that plenty I had is no longer even relevant to the end of this game.
Yeah, I think it's sensory overload.
Exactly. That's the perfect phrase for it.
Where do you start? Like, do we talk about the fact that Mahomes running the ball was huge, the throw to Tyreek Hill, the throw to Travis Kelce. I mean, there was so much on the line when you get into the playoffs, and there was so much great offense being had. The Chiefs were the number 8 scoring defense. I know yardage-wise they've given up a boatload of yards, but they were the number 8 scoring defense in the NFL, and the Bills were the number 1 yard and scoring defense. And both these quarterbacks were just carving them up. I mean, I think it's the greatest game ever played.
Carving them up when everybody knew they were passing.
Yes. Yes. Was it the greatest game ever played?
So we were debating this last night in the press box after the game because you always sort of have that recency bias. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Vahe Gregorian sits next to me, our columnist, and he covered the Super Bowl where the Rams, make a tackle. You don't even know if he's in yet. You've got to see the replay. Incredible finish to that game. The fact that there's 4 lead changes in this game in which the last 2, you think there's probably not enough time to get something done here. I just think the back and forth nature, it's without a doubt the best game that I've seen, with the best game that I've covered and written about. Because like I said, it's you know, you just get in these situations where it's so stressful at the end of the game because just so much happened that you felt like was the biggest play of the game. It becomes the 10th or 15th biggest play of the game by the end of it.
I think Patrick Mahomes, who I think clocked like a 4.74 40, you know, at the combine. I don't know that quarterbacks put as much into it. He probably could if he trained.
Yeah.
You know, he knew he wasn't going to be drafted. They know they're not going to be drafted on their 40 time unless you're, you know, Mike Vick or Lamar Jackson, and, you know, that's going to be part of what you're selling. Then you probably train a little more to get a great burst out of there and shave every hundredth of a second off you can. So I he probably could train his way into the 4.6s. He looks faster than 4.74.
He is now. He has trained into that area.
Okay.
Know, yeah.
But he's still not Mike Vick.
Yeah.
Right? He's still Jackson, but he is very athletic. He's athletic more than he is fast in the sense that whatever he's got, like Jerry Rice didn't run a great 40, but every ounce of speed he had, he could apply to football moves. And that's kind of where Patrick Mahomes is. I mean, just I'm picking that because I marveled at what he did, his escapability and his running. You know, we said it coming into this game. Curtis said it, I think, early last week that, maybe it was you. I hate when you run something back at somebody that they told you. but, you know, every time he runs, he seems to get to where he wants to go.
Yeah.
You know, if he takes off, he's going to get the first down. You know, it's not very often that he takes off and it's like, oh, this didn't work. I got to get down. There might have been one of those last night where I don't know. It was like he was like, oh, this is plan A. It's just where he was forced and he didn't get to the yard marker. But he is so good at eluding in the pocket while not being, like I said, Mike Vick or Lamar Jackson or even, frankly, Steve Young. But he is kind of, well, I'm sure he wouldn't grade out athletically like Steve Young did. Steve Young's not a bad comp for him either because Steve Young's, all of his was kind of, you know, whatever he had, he could apply it. And that's where Mahomes is. Whatever athleticism, he can contort his body, he can twist, he can turn and keep moving. I marveled at how much he keeps plays alive.
If I think he runs a 4.7 if the guy chasing him runs a 4.71. He runs a 4.5 if the guy chasing him runs a 4.51. He just is always just a half a step of the guy ahead of him who's chasing him. What was the dynamic yesterday with his scrambles? He scrambled, I think Next Gen Stats said, the 69 yards, which were all on scrambles, none of them were called runs, is right. The most he's ever had in a game. But the dynamic there is the Bills opened with the two. They played more two shell than Patrick Mahomes has seen all season. He didn't throw a pass over 20 yards last night. But they opened in zone, and they played that robber-thief defense with their second safety that the Bills are really good at because they have two safeties who can play at the line of scrimmage and two safeties who can play deep. So you don't know which one's going to do which. And that's why the Bills are so tough to read pre-snap. So a lot of times what one of them does, and we saw it on the very first third down of the game, they come down and defend Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill, and they've disguised it as they're going to play too deep, but then that's what they do. They cut off a crossing route or a slant or something that's going to be a quick hitter on third downs to convert. So Mahomes ran because that second safety is playing man-to-man. Even though the rest of the team might be in zone, that second safety is in man-to-man. So Mahomes scrambled a lot. So the Bills switched. They played a lot of man-to-man late. That's why you saw Tyreek Hill outrun everybody in the two-minute drill. That's why you saw Travis Kelce and Mahomes have the ability to have that sort of backyard football play with 13 seconds left. It all comes from, as much as we had talked to Mahomes about, what do you adjust from the fact that you lost to these guys last time? He made those adjustments within the game. You know, they had weeks to prepare for the Buffalo Bills. I think we thought this game was going to happen at some point. He just had, you know, minutes to make some of these end-game adjustments, though.
You know something that's subtle? It's either Patrick Mahomes' ability to process it, or it's how Andy Reid has gotten better, or Eric Bieniemy's gotten better. I mean, let's not make light of the fact that 13 seconds, they did it in 13 seconds, 10 seconds got down to where they could kick a 49-yard field goal, and they had two timeouts.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they did not blow their timeouts earlier in the game, and there are some people that, on their last scoring drive, There are teams that would have been like, timeout.
For sure.
And he didn't use them. They had them all to use as they needed them to finish that game. And I don't know how many times do you remember Alex Smith burning timeouts and getting to the ends of games and they didn't have all three timeouts. And it never seems to happen. Like it used to be a running joke about like, well, they're 5 minutes in, there goes one timeout. There was always some reason they were taking a timeout. Either Andy Reid's gotten better, or it's just Patrick Mahomes can either fix whatever was wrong when it comes in, or Patrick Mahomes is just that much better. And that's the cerebral part of the game, not the physical part of the game. And I think that's underrated that, you know, it's like, oh, he used his timeouts, and he had them. Like, how often do we see teams just burning them on stupid things? Like, the worst is, like, they take a timeout when the clock's going to run down, and they're going to go from second and four to second and nine.
Waste of a timeout, absolutely.
Complete waste.
Yeah.
Like, you know, yardage is so easy to come by in today's NFL. Like, how can you be burning this timeout? That doesn't happen with this team. And that there's so many little subtleties in this game that allowed it to be what it was, like that people don't realize.
It reminds me of that one of the first things you see Patrick Mahomes do after a play. This is going to come across great on radio since it's emotion. But he takes his hands and, like, wiggles his fingers to the sideline.
All right, come on, I'm ready.
Like, yeah, give me the play now. Give me the play. And it's like 5 seconds after the previous play is over. Like, I need to hear it. What do you guys got for me?
And he did get frustrated with one, and they did have to burn a timeout in the first half, didn't they? They were late getting one in here. Was there a time he's like, oh, forget it? Or am I getting confused? Am I thinking about the earlier game with Matt Stafford? Maybe Matt Stafford had a time. He was doing that same motion you're talking about with Patrick Mahomes. And finally he was just like, enough. And you know, went up there, and then they ended up having to call a timeout before they got going. So that was – I think it was McVay and Stafford.
I don't think the Chiefs used one last night.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
But, you know, it's like the Bills weren't aware of the fact that the Chiefs had three timeouts. On that last play that I referenced with Travis Kelce, where Kelce noticed the way he was lining up, I feel like the Buffalo radio is probably having a lot of great conversations because I think this game is more interesting from Buffalo's perspective. But you know, they obviously should have squibbed the ball. But also their defense against Travis Kelce with 13 seconds left didn't make any sense to me.
My buddy Sal and I were texting Sal Capaccio to sidelines, and, you know, I was saying, hey, sorry,
well, the Bills
that's
were
a rough one.
The Bills were doing sidelines.
The
Bills were doing sidelines, too. They were just defending the sideline.
Yeah.
It's like they were unaware that the Chiefs had three – they didn't need to go to the sideline, and Kelce recognized it, you know, because the Bills called timeout. It's sort of reminiscent of that Chargers-Raiders game in Week 18 where – you know, I didn't think that was a bad timeout, but then you think, okay, you're giving the other team time to make the right decision. And that's what the Bills did, is that they offered the Chiefs a look at their defense, and Kelce's like, you know, they're leaving me open over the middle. They're playing that they're guarding the sidelines against me. But the Chiefs had three timeouts, so you didn't need to do that.
Yeah.
And if you're going to do that, why not bump them off the line? Why not? Because every second in that situation you felt like was going to be very critical.
Well, I know the clock, and you know, everyone always talks about, well, the clock, you're playing the clock. That's what you're really playing. Yeah, you're playing the clock, but you're also playing the yardage.
The yardage,
and
absolutely.
So many teams take these checkdowns where they get 4 or 5 yards. Like, didn't the Bills have one? Like, before they came up with the big play, they had, like, a 2-yard completion to Stephon Diggs. Like, maybe that was in the first half.
Yeah.
And it's like, why are you even throwing this? Like, you're better off throwing it out of bounds and making sure the clock stops than completing that and taking the chance that the guy's going to get tackled in bounds, or they're going to say he's going backwards, so it's forward progress was stopped and the clock runs. And Mahomes never does that. He understands that he's battling the clock and he's battling the yardage, and he goes down field.
Yeah.
And how your scouting report on him is not that this guy is going to take chunks. I mean, I remember it was one of the first practices that he had, the year he sat out, his apprenticeship year. And I remember, and you probably weren't even on the Chiefs beat then.
No, I wasn't.
And we're up there at camp, and they're like, okay, 2-minute drill. And that was the big thing. Was they were going, you know, we were all couldn't wait to see Mahomes. And so Everybody, every beat guy like you was writing it, and we were on the radio talking about it, what he did on each play. And then we go to Andy Reid and go, well, how did Patrick Mahomes doing that? And he goes, well, when you complete one for 30 yards on the first play, it makes that 2-minute drive a lot easier. And that's always stuck with me, and that's always been Mahomes. He doesn't come out there pussyfooting around, you know, and here's a little 4-yarder, and then we run to the sidelines, and now you've gone 4 yards and burnt 9 seconds. Like, he is going down the field, and we're getting this thing moving, and almost always starts with a play down the field. Like, do you remember a time that he had the ball either at the end of a half or end of a game and just crapped in his hat and went 3 and out or 4 and out, and they went nowhere?
Yeah, right.
He destroys these prevent defenses.
By the way, I was trying to listen back on the game pass to see if I could hear it. So if you guys already mentioned this, I apologize, but you talked about the blast play to Kelce to put him in position for the final field goal that tied it. You can hear that they must have, when you said they lined up, then they re-huddled again. Kelce said, "I'm what you just said." And you could actually hear Patrick Mahomes on the CBS audio when he sees the lineup goes, "Do it, Kels. Do it, Kels.
Yeah, that's what Tracy called and said.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Tracy said he heard that.
Our Jesse Newell wrote about that, too. It's a good story. You guys should check it out, because it is that exact situation where he says it, and then he offers himself a little more cadence to, I think, kind of throw off the defense. Hey, I didn't just say that. Focus on this instead.
Yeah.
But it is that exact situation of, hey, you said you're going to go inside on this and try and split the two defenders and just try and get as many yards as you possibly could. Go ahead and do that, because I see what you see. You know, now that the defense is lined up, I do think you're right.
And I think another part, I mean, just the last two plays in the kick. I mean, how great was Harrison Butker today, just going through everything that's in his mind?
I thought it was great.
It was great stuff.
I've always wanted to know that. How can you not focus on how big a kick is. And he kind of walked us through for here's the way I try and focus on not how big a kick is.
Here is my notepad where I chart like what everybody's saying.
I kind of do something similar.
Right. And so one stars, two stars, three stars. Curtis, I put one star if I'm like not sure. I'm like, yeah, that might be interesting. And then I might come back and add the second or third. And then Curtis knows to pull the twos and threes. Right. And then I take a picture of it and I send it to him and he gets to work cutting it while the other ones are going. That's how we get things done quickly. They're all twos and threes. Like, I felt stupid at the end of it because on Butker, I'm like, I'm putting down two, two, two. I'm like, this is dumb. Why am I? I'm basically telling Curtis to cut every single thing that they
from
said
the kicker,
there.
Yeah,
because I'm like, what is going on? And I even thought a lot of the Reed stuff. Like, I was like, you know, we said it. You're like, well, he was pretty happy.
I thought Randy Reed was pretty good today.
Pretty
happy. Especially for a Monday post game where he's, you know, on to Cincinnati.
Well, I personally think most Mondays he has not been to bed since he woke up Sunday morning.
I think that's often the case. You know, I think he's clearly sleeping at the facility. They go straight from the stadium to the facility. Usually Eric Bieniemy joins them there to put in the offensive game plan. But, you know, it's probably a couple hours on a couch in the office.
Yeah, I think that's Wednesday. I think Sunday night the man does not go to bed because his voice is so
you can hear it
and
he's voice
and
for
he,
sure.
he is down to just like this and I'm like it's I honestly worry about the man's health because he looks worn out on Mondays and I think especially like on this one where he said to us well Cincinnati had a whole day to get started.
Yep, that stood out to me too. Yep.
You know, and like he's like, well, but screw you, I'm getting caught up tonight.
These 12 hours are the overnight hours, exactly. Yeah, you guys had 12 hours on Sunday. I had 12 hours overnight on Sunday and Monday.
And to get back after it, but no, to your point about like those last few plays that like literally you could do hours on just them. But the other thing that I think is really subtle that I haven't heard anybody else talk about, somebody probably has, but I haven't heard it. Is that Kelce was getting down. I know he kind of gets tackled, but he's also in the process of going down. The clock was in his head. He knew how far he had to get to. He knew where he was going to be tackled, where there was no point in trying to fight for more yardage and maybe get held up and hung up and have the clock end on you. He got the hell down. And it, like the smarts of him and Mahomes and you know, what they're doing at that time, it's next level stuff that so many other teams can't do. I mean, think about what you watched the Cowboys do.
Right.
And how much of a disaster it was. And it was, you know, I heard the joke in a lot of places. And the Chiefs came back in 13 seconds. The Cowboys couldn't run one play in 14.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true.
You know, this goes back to a conversation we had after Week 17 in Cincinnati when we wondered how much they had prepared for that exact scenario, what they faced in Cincinnati. It was very clear that this was a prepared team for the scenario that they faced yesterday.
They're good on the offense.
Yeah. But I think the minor details of it, too, stuff you just mentioned, which goes back to what we said at the top, which that what Travis Kelce did at the end of that play is gigantic by getting down. There were 80 other things that happened in it that I had actually just forgotten about it until you just mentioned it because of just how crazy the final 2 minutes were.
Yeah, there was just so much going on. Like we said, it's sensory overload as to what was happening. And it just does show the sheer brilliance. And I think they are. And listen, I've heard some things from Steve Spagnuolo where you talk about like, well, do you guys work on this or that? He's like, well, we have, you know, we're going against Andy's doing this and that. And it's like the head coach's side of the ball is going to get a lot of love. And this is an offensive team, and it needs to be good on offense because I do think the practices tilt to the offense. I mean, you hear where, you know, hey, did you work on this? Well, we have a little period here where we can do it where it's like the head coach is calling how we're doing it. And I frankly think it's the right way to do it. You have to be good on offense. You have to be able to execute there. You can't – anyone who's coached anything at any level knows there's never enough time to do everything you want to do. There just isn't. So you got to figure out what do I have here talent wise and how can I maximize that? And I give great credit to Mike Vrabel for saying we're going to ground and pound and play defense because that's what he's got, you know, and that's what Bill Belichick had early on when Tom Brady hadn't become what Tom Brady became when he was 24 touchdowns and 12 INTs for 3,200 yards. They had to be all things defense. But as they got weapons and Brady blossomed, then it's like, no, here we go. We're going to fire it all over the place. And Andy Reid, to his credit, you know, he needs to draft him some more receivers to make sure that he's always got the firepower. Because if you spend all your time on offense and you don't, you're thrown to Nelson Aguilar's of the world,
right.
It's going to suck. It's going to suck. It's going to be ugly.
I think the sensory overload sort of applies to the element you're talking about as well, as far as, you know, you can only work on so much
right
during the week. So the way the Chiefs handle those situations is they work on similar stuff, but they pound it every single week. And so then it's not overload to you because you're not learning new information. And so then when you add three or four plays a week, you know, I wonder when the Blake Bell play was put in. I wonder when the Patrick Mahomes rollout on the fake to Michael Burton was put in. Had they had these other plays? They've had those other plays all year. Were those just layered on afterwards? And that's their strategy, is, you know, you pound the basics, and then you add a little wrinkle every week or two into the offense. And then that overload doesn't feel like overload, even though I think we can agree that Andy Reid's playbook is more expansive than the average playbook.
I have to admit, the Blake Bell option did not go.
This was the Blake Bell option game. And at that point, if they lost this game, we'd be calling it, I think, the Blake Bell option game.
Well, and I loved the call, because I've been calling for it. I'm like, he was a quarterback.
Right.
He wasn't good at it. And we know now why he was not a quarterback when he finished, because his read was terrible. He pitched it way too soon, you know, and instead of making the guy commit, he made it an easy tackle. So I apologize, Coach Reed. I have been calling for something like that.
You put it in the playbook.
I did put it in the playbook. I've been like, listen, the guy played quarterback.
So this would not have been the Blake Bell option game. It would have been the Sorin Petro calls the Blake Bell option.
That's right.
That's where we were going.
That's right. Exactly. We're talking to Sam McDowell here in the program, brought to you by our friends at Corona. We'll take a break, come back. More on the Chiefs. We'll also get into looking ahead to the Bengals. Will there be a letdown? Is the defense a problem? We'll talk about all that. Tyrann Mathieu, concussion. More with Sam McDowell next here in the program.
The program with Sorin Petro.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are actually, no.
They never will.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the good sense, end of the hour answer. Well, my first one, that was interesting.
All right. That's usually me. You know,
yeah, what the heck is going on with that?
So these are not pre-recorded.
No.
I would have. Version 2.
Cleaned that one up.
Counting last night, how many postseason games have gone to overtime with each team having scored at least 35 points?
I bet this is the first one.
I'm going to say it's the first one as well.
It's the fifth one.
Well, that's not fun.
How long ago was the last one?
Baltimore, Denver, 2012 divisional playoffs. That was 35 all.
Got behind Morris somehow.
Yeah, no, Raheem Moore.
Okay.
That was ridiculous that he got that deep. Another one is one of your all-time favorite games, Sorin, 51-45.
Oh, that's right. That's the game that I would nominate for the best game. But Curtis went and looked it up and said that the Packers actually never led in that game.
Wow.
Could it really be the best? It was the greatest quarterback back and forth I've ever seen.
No question about
just
that.
Just absolute dimes.
I think the back and forth that both teams thought, we're going to win this game, we're going to lose this game, we're going to win this game, that I think has to be
this game
high up in your equation. Yeah,
yes.
I think
that
has to be high up in the equation.
Yeah.
The other two, the infamous comeback Buffalo Bills against the Houston Oilers in the 92 wild card game, 41-38.
I did a really bad job of sniffing this answer. I'm like, oh, yeah, of course.
And the only other game that I think kind of I would have initially put on the shelf with this one, the epic in Miami, 41-38. Chargers over the Miami Dolphins in the 1981 AFC Divisional Playoffs. By the way, there was one more play in that. You talk about the amazing things that kind of happen. I just noticed this. Someone brought this to my attention, so I went back and looked at it. During the drive in overtime, the screen pass to McKinnon, the quick reaction that it took for Patrick Mahomes to not throw it when he initially planned to throw it, he saw the two defenders kind of converging, and he pump faked and waited and then threw it when he was open. The split second ability to process that and go, nope, not yet. Oh, there it is. That kind of gets lost into it. But that was a monster play, and it just wouldn't have happened if he had read that wrong.
He's like a basketball point guard at times with those things. And I think that speaks to his comfort on the field. like, and his toughness, his bravery, for lack of a better word. He's not afraid to take a shot.
Yeah.
And he hangs in there like there aren't 300-pound men trying to take his head off. And, you know, and he'll wait, and he'll look a guy off, look a defender away, and then throw it back. And he'll hold the ball and just give, like, a half throw. Like, there are times where he pumps it, Curtis, but he doesn't clear, reload it again.
Yeah.
He pumps it and then just goes, and just, like, snaps the wrist and flicks him out there. There are some wounded ducks that come out of his hand that just kind of sail up there that usually is one that Kelce is going up to get. They're not a perfect spiral. They're not fired, but it's because it's like literally a half a throw, and he still puts it right where he wants it to go. It's amazing. You know, a lot of people talk about the having played baseball and you know, played shortstop and, you know, the off-balance throws and everything, but there's also just like the point guard nature of the way he just commands the field out there.
The similar play that I think fits that example is the touchdown he threw to Byron Pringle. And there was another element of that, which is, you know, the Bills did not blitz Patrick Mahomes a single time in Week 5, and he dropped back 54 times in that game. On that play, he fakes a rollout left, and then he does a spin and rolls back out right. There's two guys in his face because the Bills have brought an all-out blitz for the first time. And, you know, I mean, I guess that's kind of deep into the game, so probably 70 dropbacks that he's had now against his team, first time he sees a blitz, and he knows exactly where he's going with it immediately.
The words that were said in my house was, throw it away. He's throwing it away. Touchdown. I was for sure he was just throwing it out of the back of the end zone, and it's completed for a touchdown. It's insane.
And he knew immediately. And he also, by the way, Byron Pringle wasn't all that open on that play. He still has to throw a pretty good ball there.
If you're a receiver, you have to love playing with him because he's going to give you a chance to go get the ball.
Absolutely.
You know, and you saw that in Tom Brady. Tom Brady threw some late in trying to tie it up against the Rams where I'm just like, yeah, that could have been a pick. Like the and I don't know if it's something you always have or if it's like you've banked enough good stuff that if I end this game by throwing a pick here, I'm still freaking Tom Brady, okay? And I'm going down firing. Mahomes has that same mindset. Like, he will put the ball in harm's way if that's what the situation calls for. He has that instant, you know, I've talked about it with Trent a number of times about how, yeah, you do have to remind yourself, okay, now I've got to push it down the field. If he's kind of open, I got to let it go because we don't have enough time to screw around and just come back on the, you know, first quarter. No, I'm going to hold it. We're going to look for something else. But last 2 minutes, we're down. I got to throw it. He said you are cognizant of that. Mahomes seems to be able to calculate the math of whether or not to give it a go or not perfectly almost every time.
On scramble plays, you know, we saw that a lot with his interceptions earlier in the season, that they came on third. You know, it's why – when I was on the show, you know, a couple months into the season, I kept saying, I'm not worried about the interceptions. And it was specifically because the time and place in which those interceptions were arriving. And it was late, he's scrambling, he's going to take a sack, and oh my God, it's third down, why don't I just try something here because you're going to have to punt anyway.
Yeah.
And so I think his ability to process that just in the moment is unique. But, you know, I mean, Trent Green would probably have that probably have that answer better than I would.
Yeah. I just think it's amazing. I'm looking forward to talking to Trent tonight about the fact that I really do. I said this earlier. I think people feel like, you know, madness taught a lot of people a lot about football.
Yeah.
But it's also given them the idea that it's literally just press a button and perfect play happens. And the physicality of what's going on out there and what you have to do. And to me, the quarterbacks, when they show, I wish they would show the Madden view for all game. So I think it's what the future will be, is being behind the quarterback and seeing what the quarterback sees. Let's be honest, the quarterback is the game. That's the show. So give us what he's looking at. And even when you show it from above, you're getting a better view than he's getting. I don't think people realize how bad their view is sometimes of what the hell they're looking at, and they still, yeah, that's the place to go with the ball, and I'm going to drop it right in there. It's mind-boggling to think what they do.
Well, because you've got to look at multiple people at once, and that's what I talked about was so difficult about facing this Bills team, is you have to know where both of those safeties are going to go, and they're harder to read than they are like the Chiefs safeties, for example. I think when we see Tyrann Mathieu and Juan Thornhill on the field together, you assume if a safety drops, it's probably going to be Juan Thornhill. If somebody comes towards the line of scrimmage on this play, it's probably going to be Tyrann Mathieu. The Bills don't operate like that. Either one of those safeties could come forward. Either one of them could go backwards. And a lot of times you've got to be able to judge where's their first step on this play. And that's what Patrick Mahomes had to read yesterday. And I know just from talking to some people, that's the type of stuff he was studying throughout the week last week.
Did you like how they used the running backs? I'd like to point out that Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who I had somebody call last week and say they were done with him, had a nice game. I mean, 7 carries for 60 yards. He was effective running the ball. But Jerick McKinnon, 10 carries for 24 yards. He only averaged 2.4 yards a pop. But McKinnon had the nice job catching the ball, 5 catches for 54 yards. I mean, how about a Todd McNair role for Jerick McKinnon? Why not just the third down back? You know, I mean, to me, he seems to be the guy better equipped for it. In a little bit, that's what we saw in this game, was he kind of went down that road as far as how they sub players did. Did you like how they used the running backs?
Yeah, because I think they had planned on having – Clyde Edwards-Helaire hasn't played in a while. You know, I think they wondered how he would respond to work in a game because he tried coming back last week and it didn't work out in practice. So I think they had planned on Jerick McKinnon having more of a workhorse role, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire was running the ball really well, and why not use him if that's the case? As far as, you know, the third down back, I think if this is your allotment of running backs, that's who you go with. But Darrell Williams has been really good in that role, too. You know, we saw him get over 100 yards in Vegas. We've seen him be really reliable with his hands. And like I said, I think he's a very adequate the way he leaks out late in plays. I just think him and Mahomes are on the same page a lot of ways and that stuff. The same sort of ways we talk about, you know, Kelce and Mahomes always being on the same page on passing plays. I think you see an element of that with Darrell Williams that's pretty valuable. But nobody's better on the team than Jerick McKinnon in the screen game. And that's become a more valuable element of their offense these past couple of weeks because McKinnon's been in that role.
Do you think we're going to see Darrell Williams? I mean, I know he was giving it a go last week in practice. Toes are bad news.
Right.
I mean, is it the kind of thing that I'd rather him just sit him down and get him healthy than re-aggravating the toe constantly trying to play through being hurt? Because you do have a couple of other backs. And I was always wondering if Clyde Edwards-Helaire was just a smokescreen, that he was headed for shoulder surgery and they just have him run around there and practice a little bit, force the other team to prep for him. But he obviously could go. And, you know, do you think Darrell Williams will be ready and you know, for this game or the Super Bowl if they get there?
I do think the fact that you've got two guys now who had a pretty good game on Sunday and there's a week off before the Super Bowl, you never look ahead. But for me, I would say I'm going to play the healthy guy.
Right.
And if that means that he's your third option because he's the guy who's not healthy, then why play him at all?
Right. How about the health of Tyrann Mathieu?
They missed him when he was out. I mean, a lot of those touchdowns for Gabriel Davis were right over the middle of the field. And I realized that he burned some guys on some of them. Mike Hughes just got toasted on the second-to-last touchdown. Juan Thornhill got outran on his 75-yard touchdown that got the Bills back in the game. But it was just – I don't think it was coincidental that all those touchdowns came in the same area of the field, which is the dead center of the field where Tyrann Mathieu plays.
Yeah, and then they definitely missed him. And because Josh Allen abused him. I mean, like, is this defense, if they don't have Tyrann Mathieu next week, does it have to be 40-something to win the game?
I think you're going to see something similar. I think the Chiefs getting to 42 points would be easier against the Bengals defense than what they just faced with Buffalo. But, yeah, I think the Bengals are going to score some points on them regardless. But especially if Tyrann Mathieu's not out there, I think the Bengals are going to score some points on them.
You know, it's the revenge factor, I don't think, you know, can be taken lightly, not just because, oh, we want to avenge our, you know, our good name. And just the idea that, like, I think the revenge part, what it does is you take them serious because you've been beaten. You know that they can beat you. And I pointed out that in 2019, they played two teams that had beaten them.
Right.
I mean, this is set up the same way. Is that a good thing?
For Patrick Mahomes, it is.
Yeah.
I just think his personality is you want him to have something going into that game. And if you don't have to manufacture, if it's laying out there for him already, he already knows it. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. He goes into, as the zone is called it, the FU mode.
Yeah. I texted you this just because I thought your question to him last week, and I didn't think he'd play ball with that at all. And he kind of didn't, but I think his answer was – and I even wrote about it. I thought it was more revealing than anything else he said all day, even though it was 7 words long, which is, I think I just really like winning.
Yeah.
And it was I agree with everything you just said.
Yeah, I do have that mode.
It's just because it's because I really like winning. I'm not even going to answer if I do. I'm just going to tell you why. It's because I really like winning.
We'll talk about the game with the Bengals next with Sam McDowell from the Kansas City Star. He's brought to you by Corona, Corona Light, Corona Premier, and the Corona Hard Seltzers. The Hard Seltzers, zero carbs, zero sugars. If you're watching the waistline, got that New Year's resolution, still get a great adult beverage. Get the Corona Hard Seltzers wherever you find your Coronas.
The program with Soren Petro.
I got the best hair in the room. Again, if you're sitting with Frank Bull and Pete Enoch, hey, who cares?
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Hi, welcome back. You're in the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you. Sam McDowell from the Kansas City Star. He's brought to you by our friends at Corona. Get the Corona Premier if you want to. It's my go-to on a game day. There may have been a couple of Corona Premieres consumed yesterday to calm the nerves. You know what I mean, Sam? You know, just try to.
Pretty nerve-wracking game if you rooted for one of those teams.
It was. The good news is I was on in Las Vegas. And they asked me, they said, well, how would you handicap the game? And I said, well, there are four ways this game can go. One, the Chiefs have a day and the Bills don't. Chiefs win by double digits. We saw that twice last year. Two, the Bills have a day and the Chiefs don't. And the Bills win by double digits. We saw that in week five. Or they both have a bad day or they both have a good day. And then it comes down to the last minute. And who would you bet on, Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen? I said, 7-2 in his playoff career, both losses to Tom Brady. I don't see Tom Brady on the other side of the field. The 13 seconds made me not look like a moron because still only Tom Brady, you know. And so I felt like, I was like, well, that was kind of crap. Here, I was like, the close games, he wins all close games. I said, so 3 out of 4 scenarios, Patrick, you bet the Kansas City Chiefs. So I would bet the Chiefs are not playing. And I was like, God, I'm going to look like a fool in Vegas. Nope. Saved my bacon right there. So I appreciated that for just my integrity within the industry that he was able to get that done.
You know, I told you on Sunday's game preview that the Bills were going to win. But
you had your fingers crossed or something?
Well, but my brother pointed out the first thing I said was that it was a coin toss game. And it was a coin toss game.
It came down to the coin toss.
Right.
Winning the coin toss.
So, yeah, in classic form, I'm counting that as a victory, even though I picked the Bills.
And Buffalo won the coin toss and took the ball, right, to start?
No, Josh Allen was 9-0 in coin tosses coming into the game in Kansas City, and he missed them both yesterday.
By the way, that's why you defer.
Oh,
you always defer.
Always defer.
Yeah. I don't even understand why this is a conversation.
Me neither.
If you think you've found a reason to take the ball – like, oh, well, we're good at this, but we suck at this. Then stop sucking at this.
Right.
Right? And defer. Like, that's what needs to happen. Not taking the ball, you defer. You always defer. You know, saw it in the Steeler game. They blitzkrieged them all the way, you know, through. Just, you know, I don't even get why that's a conversation. What do you expect for the game against the Bengals?
I do expect a high-scoring game. The one thing that gets lost in this conversation is the Chiefs defense had two chances to win the game yesterday, and they failed both times. And heck, they had fourth down a couple times on the first drive. And
didn't you feel like they seemed kind of surprised on the fourth down? Like, I thought we were beyond that, being shocked that the other team's going for the fourth down. But, like, certainly the first one when they were on their side of the field, it was kind of like, whoa.
The first drive of the game?
Yeah.
The Bills didn't stick to that, which surprised me. There were so many fourth down decisions in that game yesterday that were very interesting decisions.
I was shocked that they punted on 4th and 1. I'm like, well,
from the 30-yard,
they just let the Chiefs off the hook on this one.
Yeah, especially once the Chiefs had the lead at that point. You're giving the ball back to Patrick Mahomes. I think at that point there were 5 minutes left in the third quarter, which we had no idea at the time was an eternity left in the game. But there were 5 minutes left in the third quarter. Patrick Mahomes has the lead. You've got 4th and 1. Like, I would not ever punt the ball back to Patrick Mahomes with the lead if I only have 1 yard to get. And by the way, I think they gained like 20-some yards on that punt net, and the Chiefs scored a touchdown anyway. So it turned out to be a horrible decision. And looking back, the Bills still cost themselves a possession in a game that went into overtime. They lost a possession by punting there. So there were a lot of interesting fourth down calls in that game that – but one of them was, you know, to open the game. I thought the Bills set the tone that's the way they were going to play the game. That's the way they felt they had to play the game. We've seen other teams do that. and then they sort of shied away until late when they had to go for it.
The Bengals are going to be doing it.
I think the Bengals are going to be more sticking to it, too.
I mean, and I think it's the kind of thing that they may look at it and go, listen, we may lose this game. Like, if I were Zach Taylor, I would tell my owner, right, here's the deal. We may go for it on fourth down in the first quarter twice, not get it, and all of a sudden be looking at 21-0 them and never get in this game.
Yeah.
But we're not going to beat them by giving Patrick Mahomes, free reign of whatever he wants to do. Like, our only chance is to make sure we're scoring on every possession. If I have anything under fourth and five on my side, I'm probably going for it. If I have anything from 50 to 35 that's under fourth and 10, I'm definitely going for it. We're gonna probably go for a couple of twos. And if it goes wrong, we lose. You know, I mean, you're a poker player. Eric Eager, has talked about this, and he uses poker as the reason. Like, you know, if you want to win a tournament, you've got to amass a chip stack, right? Like, and you do that. Like, good poker players go out early in tournaments all the time because they get the odds in their favor. They rock and fire, and if it doesn't work, they get up and they go on to the next tournament. But they're going to get the chips. And that's how these teams have to play at Mahomes. And that may mean that you're out of the tournament in, the first quarter, and you got to take three more quarters of beatings, but it's your only chance.
It comes down to what's your objective in the game. Is it to win or to play respectively, to be respectively close? And, with the with that third quarter decision I'm talking about, I felt like Sean McDermott was saying, I don't want to lose the game right here. And it's like, yeah, but you're improving your chances to lose the game later. And so that what you just said about getting down 21-0, I think that gets into coach's head. Is I don't want to lose the game. It's only the first quarter.
Right.
Let's not lose the game in the first quarter. And to me, it's just what improves your greatest chances at the end of the game to win. And against this team, you're going to have to be really aggressive on those fourth downs. That has to be part of the entire equation, is the guy on the other end of the field can score from 80 yards, he can score from 75 yards, he can score from 50 yards. It doesn't really matter what the size of the field we're giving this guy.
The Titans sacked Joe Burrow nine times. How many times were the Chiefs?
I think that obviously that's going to be what's going on in the Bengals' practices this week is quick plays. We've seen teams do that against the Chiefs, though, and the Chiefs are actually as good as any other team in the league whenever a quarterback gets rid of the ball really quickly. So they're going to have an element to decide, do we want to get rid of the ball quickly against that's what this – because they play press coverage. Right. You and I talked about press coverage last week. That's one of the things it defends against. Or are we going to have these long, drawn-out plays that requires our quarterback to sit back in a pocket that just gets dismantled? And so, yeah, I thought that was the key going into the first game they played Cincinnati. I do think it's the key this week, too.
They're playing a team that doesn't rush the passer very well. I mean, despite Chris Jones, their numbers are not good.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
let's say three sacks. What do you think? Three?
I think four. I think four.
It's not going to be nine. I don't think we think it's going to be nine.
No, we don't think it's going to be
nine. Unless it's that 21-0 game and they're just passing 55 times.
I don't think it's going to be nine. I don't see that. Sam, great stuff, buddy. Keep up the great work. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Ren.
Sam McDowell from the Kansas City Star joins us every Monday in the program. You also hear him Sunday on the Central Bank pregame show. The 2-Minute Drill is coming up next.
The burnt end of the hour question. Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue in Olathe, Leawood, and the original in the gas station at 47th and Mission.
All right, how many times have both quarterbacks in a playoff game had 300 yards, three touchdowns, and no interceptions? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.